You've got one on your phone or your tablet. Those red books near you are also Bibles. And we are going to be in Luke chapter 18 today. Luke chapter 18. Luke is about three quarters of the way through the Bible, all of those Gospels where you'll find Jesus speaking and ministering are about three quarters of the way through the Scriptures. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 18. So my question today to start us off with is, what can you do with a rubber band? What can you do with it?
It's,
play with it.
You
can hold things together. You can stretch it. You can fling it at people. I'm not going to do that, I promise. You can put your hair up. Yeah, I can't either, Bird. I don't have enough hair to put my hair up anymore. You can wear it. Be jewelry. You can make music. You know, little rubber band guitars for little tiny people are fun. Okay, rubber bands. Rubber bands are flexible. Rubber bands are elastic, right? They're elastic. And today we're going to be looking at one of Jesus's parables. And the parables of Jesus are elastic. They are flexible. Parables are stories with a deeper spiritual meaning, and they can stretch in many different directions. And so you can read them one day and hear one thing from God, and a month can pass, or maybe even years can pass, and you can read the same parable again and hear another important truth from God. And so it reminds us that the Word of God is living and it's active, and it reminds us that God meets us exactly where we are in the Word of God. And so we are going to read Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. This is the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. And so the point of view, the way we're going to stretch it first, is with the idea that the followers of Jesus are the widow. Okay? That's where we're going to look at it first. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. Okay, so we get a reason for the parable. Verse 2, Jesus said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused. But later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" And so Jesus sets up this contrast between God and the unjust judge. So the judge is, how would you describe the judge? The judge is indifferent, great word, right? The judge is
self-centered,
maybe, yeah, foolish, sure. So the judge is powerful. Probably the most powerful person in whatever community this is. The judge is worldly. The judge is corrupt. The judge is slow to respond. The judge is disrespectful. The judge is disbelieving. Okay. Secular. And so God, here's the contrast. God is more powerful. God is attentive to injustice. God is quick to respond. God is faithful. And God is compassionate. And so even the ungodly relent in the face of persevering. And how much more will God respond when we pray? And so the followers of Jesus are to be like the widow. And so the widow would have been the person, probably the least powerful person in this entire community. No position at all in the community. And yet, this perseverance gives the widow power. Folks would probably laughed at this, you know, this idea of this powerless widow getting the judge to do what she wants him to do. But there is power. And so the follower of Jesus are to be like the widow. Look at verse 1. Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. And so we are to pray always and not lose heart. And then at verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The widow had faith that her persevering would bring a result. And so faith looks like praying always, and faith looks like not losing heart. And so when God looks at us, does God see someone who is resilient? Does God see someone who is full of faith? Does God see someone who is actively trusting in God? Someone who is persevering in prayer? So, how's your prayer life? You know, are you using prayer kind of as a rubber stamp as you go ahead and make plans to fix whatever needs fixing in your own strength? Are you using prayer kind of, well, I've tried everything else and nothing else has worked, so I guess I might as well pray, you know, last ditch effort? Maybe you've just given up on prayer. Maybe there's a situation that's just been going on so long, you're like, you know, it doesn't matter if I pray or not. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to lose heart. So look, turn back just a couple of pages to Luke chapter 11. Jesus is talking about this this same idea in this place as well. And so in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." Right? Ask, seek, knock. But this particular translation doesn't really do this asking and seeking and knocking justice. It's the present progressive tense. Don't know what that is, but here's what it sounds like if it were to be translated a little more literally. Keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and it will be open to you. For everyone who continues to ask, receive. And the one who continues to seek, finds. And the one who continues to knock, it will be opened. What father among you, if your son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So it is about persevering in prayer, persevering in the asking and the seeking and the knocking. And so I have been praying, months and months and months and months, for a movement of the Holy Spirit in our midst, for an awakening of God's people. And that folks would, you know, receive callings upon their life, and they would begin to act on that calling of God. And what I'm realizing in this, that some prayers just take time to germinate. They just take time to bubble up and grow, and it takes persevering in prayer. And so a couple of weeks back, some folks wanted some appointments with me, and I'm like, great, let's do that. And so I go to the Monday afternoon men's Bible study that meets out at the Meadows. And we start talking about things, and all of a sudden, these guys are just talking about, and how can we reach more people for Jesus, and how can we grow this group, and how can we bring more people into worship, and I'm like, wow. And it was absolutely just bubbling up inside of them, and they were so alive in Christ. And then, like just a couple of days later, I met with Cindy, and Cindy was like just bubbling up, you know, I'm going to start this new class, and Phyllis is going to host it at her house, and we're going to, you know, and I've picked this curriculum, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And I'm like, wow, alive in Christ. And then like the same week, I met with this group of folks who all live at the same in the same mobile home community. And they were like, yeah, how can we start, you know, reaching people right here in our mobile home community? And how can we start doing this and doing that? And I've got this idea and I've got that idea. And it was just, you know, alive in Christ. And it's just exciting. You can imagine how excited the widow was when all of a sudden the judge said, okay, I'll, you know. And that's the way it felt. And so I would invite you to name your persevering prayer. What is the thing that you are praying for? You know, and to keep on praying and to not lose heart in that praying. You know, are you praying for a reconciliation in a relationship? Are you praying for the salvation of a loved one? Are you praying for someone to be delivered from an addiction, or maybe you to be delivered from this addiction? Are you praying for an end of corruption and evil and injustice and oppression? Are you praying for peace and plenty on the earth? Are you praying for an answer? What are you praying for? Persevere in that prayer and do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. God is good, and God is near, and God is attentive to your need, and God will make the wrongs right. And we just know that the reality of it may not be here in this time. It may be in heaven, but it may be now. It may be now. I want us to take this parable and stretch it in a different direction. I had never looked at this parable in this way before, and it was so eye-opening to me that I just had to share it. And so we're going to read the parable again, just the little parable part. But we're going to look at it from, we're going to stretch it in a different direction. We're going to look at it from a different point of view. And this time, we're going to look at it as God is the widow and we are the unjust judge. God is the widow and we are the unjust judge. It makes some sense. Jesus said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. And in that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps coming and bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. Steve Garnes Holmes said this. He said, our power stereotypes told us to assume the judge is God, which would make us the poor widow. But wait, who judges? Anybody have trouble with judging people, judging situations? Yeah. Lord have mercy on me. Who cares neither for God nor people? Ever done that? That would be us. And who continually demands that we do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with God. Right? Isn't this what God comes to us again and again and again? Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Sorry, we don't get the high ground here, denying our privilege, pretending we're faithfully imploring God with our persistent quest for justice. We're the ones deaf to the cries of the poor. God comes in the voice of the vulnerable, while we in our arrogance easily ignore. How disconcerting that in this story the ball is in our court, not God's. The demand has been made over and over, and Jesus warns us, God can outlast us. And so when God comes, will God find us listening? There's a thing about prayer. Prayer is coupled with action. And so if we are praying for that relationship to be reconciled, what are we also doing for that relationship to be reconciled? If we're praying for that loved one to come to saving faith, what are we also doing in order to put that loved one in a frame of mind or in a situation where they could hear the gospel? If we're praying for an end to evil and injustice and oppression, what are we doing to end evil and injustice and oppression? This idea of persevering in prayer and prayer in action stretches me. And I need to pray before I act, so I don't use it as a weapon, my acting. And I need to persevere in prayer because God is the one who makes things new and God is the one who changes hearts. So I need both. And I need the Holy Spirit filling me so that I don't lose heart when it doesn't seem to be that anything is changing. Persevere in prayer. Prayer and action. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you hear us. And that you want to have a relationship with us. That you want to bless us and empower us and encourage us and forgive us. And so help us to talk to you. To talk to you honestly and openly and often. Help us to persevere in prayer. And help us to not lose heart. Help us to trust you. And help us to know that the path we're on is the path of goodness and glory. Help us to know it's the path of truth and humility. It is the path of light and life. We need that reassurance so that we can persevere. And God, in our praying, help us to hear if there's an action we are to take. And grant us the courage and the wisdom and the grace to act. God, you are making us new and you are making this world new. Thank you for the gift of prayer. If this is your desire and your prayer, I invite you to put your hand over your heart and to join me in saying amen.